flag any ship in the ocean. It's an easy way to move money around. You can change ownership from Pakistani to Pakistani, from Saudi to Pakistani on the high seas. So anyway, it's a story we didn't want to push too far publicly, but we were never supposed to announce the killing in Pakistan. They were supposed to take the body out, take it to the Hindu Kush mountains, and a week or so later, announce that we killed him in a drone raid. And what the president did that night, because of political pressure, because of the worry about waiting a week, maybe somebody else would tell the story, he jumped ahead. It was re-election. I guess any president would do that. But he did jump ahead.
Five
and he left
seconds.
Pasha and Kiana. He left the two generals in charge of the bombs hanging. Not a good thing to do.
Seymour Hersh, I want to thank you for being with us. We'll continue this conversation posted online at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 877-500-5266. Coming up next is more talk radio with our hosts Cecil Prescott and Celeste Carey. Today's guest is Kienga Yamada Taylor, author of the book From Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation.
KBOO would like to thank our community members that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Dambayan, located on 6014 Southeast Foster Road, serving traditional Filipino lunch and dinner Wednesdays through Sunday. Lunch was provided by Santa Fe Taqueria, a Mexican restaurant at 831 Northwest 23rd Avenue, open Monday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to midnight or later. Dinner was provided by Ford Food and Drinks, a Southeast Portland cafe open 7 days a week at 2505 Southeast 11th Avenue.
KBOO proudly co-sponsors the 2016 Youth Candidate Forum. The Multnomah Youth Commission, the official youth policy body for Multnomah County and the City of Portland, invites youth 13 to 21 years old to our Youth Candidate Forum on Wednesday, April 27th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Benson High School. There will be food, raffle prizes, and youth will be able to talk with candidates for city and county commission positions about any issues that are important to them. Remember, Wednesday, April 27th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Benson High School. That's 546 Northeast 12th Avenue in Portland, conveniently located near Lloyd Center MAC stop and bus number 70. More information can be found in kboo.org on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio, along with Street Roots Newspaper, is proud to co-sponsor Amy Goodman's Portland appearance Sunday, May 8th, at the Aladdin Theater. She'll be talking about Democracy Now! 20 years covering the movements changing America. Her new book, co-authored by David Goodman and Dennis Moynihan. And Amy will be doing a book signing after the talk. All proceeds go to benefit KBOO and Street Roots Newspaper. Again, that's Amy Goodman on Sunday, May 8th at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/democracynowbenefit. Democracy is coming.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 in Portland and throughout the region. This is More Talk Radio, and my name is Cecil Prescott. Today is Monday, April 25th, 2016, and we are in the midst of our membership drive. So we hope that you will become a member or renew your membership during this season. Joining us this morning is Kianga Yamata Taylor, who has written extensively on Black politics and social movements. She is the author of From Black Life Matters to Black Liberation. She also is an assistant professor in the Department of African American Studies at Princeton University. And good morning, Professor Taylor.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And as you know, we are in the midst of a membership drive, so we will interrupt our program, our discussion. So I hope that's okay with you.
Sure.
And perhaps we'll just begin by, I want to thank you for writing this book. I thought it was really extensive and something that we needed right now. Perhaps we can begin by you telling us why you wrote the book and its central theses, and then we'll talk more extensively unpacking the arguments in your book.
Sure. The main question I was trying to answer when writing the book was, why did this movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, erupt when it did? Why does it happen now? Basically, I was asking that question within the context of the 2008 victory of Barack Obama and his ascendance to the presidency of the United States. People will remember or should know that at that time there was a widespread discussion, mostly in the mainstream media, as to whether or not the United States was entering into a post-racial period. And so I was trying to really understand how we go from questions about whether or not the United States has gone beyond racism in 2008 to the eruption of this movement against racism in 2014 and what has proven itself to be the sort of most sustained movement against racism in the United States in a generation. And so that was probably the main question that I was trying to answer. And then there were smaller questions about, you know, if racism is a kind of permanent feature of the United States, then why do movements erupt in some periods and not in others? And what is the role of ideology in American politics and life that shape that process? I was also interested in understanding some of the questions about the movement itself and how do we understand a generational divide versus a class divide in Black politics, and what does the rise of a Black political elite mean in the lives of ordinary Black people? So these are some of the questions that I was entertaining and really trying to figure out. And then finally, does this movement against police violence and racism open up a broader opportunity to talk about a broader movement for Black freedom? And in that sense, what is the relationship between racial injustice and racial inequality and police violence? What do poverty and unemployment and many of the hardships that Black people are overrepresented in suffering have to do with police violence? And so can we envision a different kind of society where police violence is not necessary as a way to manage the products of inequality that are produced in our society?
We're speaking this morning with author and activist Kienga Yamata Taylor, author of From Black Life Matters to Black Liberation. It is a powerful book that talks about the movement and also gives some analysis and reflections on the present and the future. Now, you may have a copy of this book. We're going to tell you that Linda's going to share that information with you in a couple of seconds. And you may also see and hear Professor Taylor at Powell's City of Books on Wednesday, April 27th at 7:30 p.m. But before you go there, you will want to get a copy of the book. And Linda, how may our listeners get a copy of this book?
It's really, really easy, Cecil. They just have to pick up their phone and dial 877-500-5266. Or if you're near your computer, you can certainly just go to our homepage at kboo.fm. And there's a red banner in the upper right-hand corner that says donate. Just click on that. You know, this book is really, really a great deal because, you know, it's $75 minimum pledge. That's $6.25 a month. That's very doable for many of you out there. It's not for some of you, but it's very doable for many of you. And it's also doable enough for some of you to do two memberships, one of them a gift book. Get, you know, pledge 120 and get a membership for, 150, I better be doing my addition, and get it for two people. There isn't a subject probably in my mind that's more important than the struggle around Black liberation right now. Perhaps the environment is right up there with it in terms of environmental struggle, but I don't think there's two that are more important than that. And this book sounds exciting and important to me. It's Kienga Yamata Taylor, and it's the title is From Hashtag Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation, and she gives a really in-depth analysis, and it sounds, of how things have come to be here and what role is this playing historically in Black liberation. So, you know, don't pass up the opportunity to get the book. You're not going to hear her on every radio station. You're not going to get a chance to listen to and learn from what she has to say and, you know, struggle over it yourself or get this book. You know, you can get the book. I'm sure it's out there public. So it's not true that you can't get the book, but you can, you know, you can do it as an activist. You can make your purchase of this book be your activism because you became a member of KBOO. It's easy to do. As I said, the number is toll-free, 877-500-5266. Let me say it again in case you're sleepy or driving or one of those things that's distracting you. 877-500-5266. I tend to wash dishes when I'm listening to the radio. That can block out things. So listen up sharply for us, please. I'm suggesting that you do the $75 membership level and get this great book, hashtag From Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation. You know that Cecil and Celeste, if you turn in regularly on Monday, you know they bring you controversial issues. They bring you the speakers. They ask the questions. You don't get to hear, you know, their mix anywhere else at KBOO and on the web, of course, at kboo.fm. Show your support for that kind of radio as well. You don't find it anywhere else in Portland. I know that. You can go all across the dial and you're not going to find the in-depth political and public affairs reporting that you hear here. So take a moment. Hear those phones behind me. Ring, ring, ring. We have a goal for this show of $400. Nobody's called in yet for the show, so we need you to start doing that right now. You know, the time passes so quickly. So that's a $400 goal. If you're the one person, if you like to be, and, you know, it's always fun to be, you know, the person who can really do it, make a great big contribution. You can do $30 a month. That's $360. That'd take us almost all the way to our goal. I know that's way out there for some people, but for others, it's doable. You could give us that much money. So yes. I want you to give what works for you. And please do call right now, 877-500-5266, or come in person to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We really mean that. We love to have you tour around, and there'll always be a cup of coffee and something to eat when you come on through. We're going to go back now to Cecil and Celeste and their guest, Kienga Yamata Taylor, about her book, From Black From Hashtag Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation. This is great radio, so stay tuned and call in your donation.
Thank you so much. Professor Taylor, We want to talk about a few points in your book, and I think for me at least, your discussion on the persistency of racism and how to attack it, and the sense of what is the causes of black inequality, and this popular narrative that is somehow black inequality is due to the moral defect in black people.
That's a persistent myth.
Yeah.
Yeah, to address that and deconstruct that, maybe.
Well, I think that the narrative around black immorality and black irresponsibility has a very long history in this country. I think that, you know, it's part of the explanation, the excuse that goes into the enslavement of black people. I think it transcends slavery into the period of freedom for black people, but having to sort of explain why that freedom is compromised during the period of Jim Crow, why, you know, you have to have particular rules and laws that dictate what happens to black people who are unemployed and who are not working, is because if we don't have those rules and laws which existed across the South after slavery, then black people would not work on their own volition. They have to be coerced in some sort of way. And then we certainly have that kind of mythology that transcends the Jim Crow era, certainly into the current period, of trying to explain the disproportionate levels of inequality, poverty, unemployment that exist in black communities compared to white people in particular, but to the rest of the United States in general. And so in that sense, the discussion about black morality as being the root cause behind all of these periods of black life really helps to mask and to shroud a much more substantive discussion about the systemic features and qualities of inequality that exist, that point to the particular way that this society is organized. And so instead of looking at those, the discussion about morality and personal responsibility get us to look at individual black people instead of a wider system that has reproduced racism and oppression over the different phases of black life since black people have been in this hemisphere. And so part of what I'm doing is to ask people to think more deeply than about these questions instead of these surface explanations that are usually offered up in the mainstream media and popular culture, and to really look at the systemic forces behind the kind of disparities that exist between black people and the rest of American society.
And what you also point out in your book is this myth is something that has been picked up by elements in the black community itself.
Yes.
And you know, occasionally, not more than occasionally, we see the our first black president also given voice to these opinions. And say something about that and why the rise of Black Lives Matters in the era of our first black president.
Well, there's a couple of things about, as to why black people buy into the mythology that black people are responsible for black inequality and poverty. In some ways, there's a simple explanation, which are black people are products of this society. And so particularly over the last 40 years, there has been a one-sided explanation for black poverty, for black unemployment, for black inequality. There's been a one-sided explanation in the mainstream media, in the academy, in all of the places where discussions like these happen, which have been focused on questions of Black morality and Black, you know, personal responsibility. And so there's, you know, in my mind, there's no question as to why Black people would also buy into this mythology. And so part of, you know, these explanations aren't new. As I said, they've existed since Black people have been in this hemisphere. And so at times, though, those explanations are challenged. During the Civil Rights Movement, it was severely challenged. And this is the period where the movement produces another set of explanations for Black inequality, such as institutional racism, systemic racism. Those frameworks and political analyses come out of the 1960s. And so what we're seeing now, you know, I think is through the Black Lives Matter movement is a concerted pushback against the idea that the problems that exist in Black communities are the product of Black people themselves. And we're beginning, you know, to see how a different kind of explanation is introduced into the typical narratives, so much so that even someone like Hillary Clinton has begun speaking about quote-unquote systemic racism over the last several months as a key feature of her campaign. That's a product of the movement. We know what Hillary Clinton was saying about Black people 20 years ago. In the absence of a movement, we were super predators who needed to be brought to heel. In the midst of a movement, Hillary Clinton has had to adjust her rhetoric. And I think that we saw some of that even with President Obama, who has never been short on words when it comes to scolding Black people for things that happen in Black communities. But over the last year and a half, has had to temper that in order to appear to be in sync with this eruption called the Black Lives Matter movement. And so to me, that is instructive about the way that political and social movements can not just transform the immediate surroundings that movement is located in, but really in the United States, the Black movement has a way of becoming a force in all of American politics. And I think that we are seeing that right now.
Thank you. We do have a caller online, we will ask their patience here while we exhort and encourage people to become members and supporters of community radio. You know, when we do More Talk Radio, we really try to keep our ears open and our minds open to what's going on, not only nationally or internationally, but right here at home. And so to do that, we need to not only have access to information, so that would be the internet, we need to be able to get books, we need to be able to have telephone services that bring our guests to you. That only happens when you become a supporting member of your Community Connection, KBO. Portland. So we encourage you. How can you become a member? Well, there's two ways you can connect immediately. One is by calling 877-500-5266. And speaking with one of our bright and cheery morning phone answers who'd be happy to take your pledge. The other way is by taking advantage of the electronic connection through our website at kboo.fm. You can go in there and you can make your contribution there. Whichever you do, we ask you to think about what your gift means to KBOO and be as generous as you can.
Linda, how are we doing so far?
Well, we have not gotten anywhere towards our goal yet. People are just listening intently and not picking up their phone. So we need to, you know, have them listen intently. Boy, this
this discussion is really important, and I was realizing how many of us don't get to have this kind of conversation personally, and that KBOO gives us a chance to have this conversation. And this book by Kianga Yamada Taylor, called From Hashtag Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation, is so important also for that, so that we can hear thoughtful analysis that has experience in history. If you're wondering who she is, because you haven't heard her name before, she is a journalist who's worked in many different ways. In The Guardian, she's been heard. In These Times, Black Agenda Report, Ms. Magazine, International Socialist Review, and Al Jazeera. Those are just some of where she's had her voice heard. And I love that, you know, when I said that, I realized, oh, wow, she's really making herself heard. And it's such an important issue that it gets heard that way. So please take a moment right now, get a copy of this book so you can carry this conversation on forward with your friends. Maybe do two memberships and get two of them so you can have a conversation with that friend when you read the books together. I know people who do that from afar across the country. They read the same book at the same time so they can keep up with each other. It's a minimum $75 donation. That's only $6.25 a month out of your checking account if you choose to do the monthly amount, which really works well for us. Please take a moment right now and call us. It's 877-500-5266. And if you want to go online, it's kboo.fm. But it's sure, you know, enough of a morning out there. If you happen to be out on your way to work or something else, please stop by. Ride your bike on over. It's 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and we haven't had any walk-ins. We also haven't heard from the Coast or Vancouver, and I'm waiting to have one of you please pick up the phone right now. You know, I throw those goals out there. They're just ways for us to play with ourselves, for giving ourselves the motivation to do it right now. Staying on goal with membership drives means that we meet our goal in the end. And so it is really important that you call when you hear us asking you, because that's when you're listening to KBOO. That's when the contribution that the conversation Cecil and Celeste are having with Kianga Yamada Taylor, that conversation is important to you. You tune in on Monday mornings because you know Cecil and Celeste are going to bring you important conversations. And the Black Lives Matter movement is just beginning. It's going to keep revving up and grow much larger, is my sense of it, because the dam has sort of been broken, and the continued oppression that didn't get gone from the civil rights area is out there for us all to see, and that movement is going to grow. Support that movement by supporting KBOO as well, because, you know, we bring you the news about it. Here's how you find out what's going on around the country and around the world, is by tuning into KBOO. For many issues, you would not hear the analysis anywhere else. So show that you really, that matters to you, that that's important to you. You will feel great after you do it. You will be a member of KBOO. So go to your computer right now. You know, if you're listening internationally, which I know many people do, my son comes into my house and turns my computer on for radio and for KBOO and puts it on the big speaker so we can hear it from everywhere. If you're doing that or any other way you're listening to KBOO, call us right now, please, at 877-500-5266. Don't be a last minute or please. You know, that gives us too much excitement for the heart. Call now, 877-500-5266.
Thank you so much, Linda. But I'm looking to thank our new members and sustaining members, returning members. So please make that call so we can continue to bring you quality programming here on your Community Connection. This is More Talk Radio. You can join the conversation. The phone number here for the air is 503-231-8187. We are speaking with Professor Taylor here, and we'll go to our first caller who's been patient. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Celeste and Cecil. For the length of time that the Black Lives Matter movement has been begun and is in the process of growing, I wondered, is there something a white person can do? And then recently, when every time I hear one of these god-awful things that some police or prison guards have done, I wonder, is it yet possible for a person to who's not black but who wants to support Black Lives Matter to get some kind of a pin that you can put, like, you know, a political support pin that just says Black Lives Matter, that I can wear in public? And that's my question, and if so, I'd like to know where can I get it.
Professor Kienga Taylor, you talk about in your book about the connections between the Black Lives Matter movement and its relationship to movements for social justice. Share something with George.
Well, I think, one, we have to get away from this idea that racism and police brutality and the criminal justice system are just issues for African Americans.
That's true.
To deal with, and that, you know, the only thing that white people can do is sort of be allies or on the sidelines, helping out where they can. I think that this is a problem for all of us. It is true that black people suffer disproportionately from police violence and from the effects of injustice within our so-called criminal justice system. But I think that we can see in the post 9/11 era the expansion of the surveillance state, the expansion through the Patriot Act of policing powers, but that has an impact on everyone. And I think that if we look at the violent suppression of the Occupy movement in 2012, when people had shifted into encampments, peaceful, unarmed, nonviolent encampments across the country, and the way that the American government coordinated with local governments, with the FBI, to suppress those nonviolent encampments shows that while racism is certainly an important front to fight against police violence in the movement, that there is a general problem with the ever-widening expansion of police powers in this country. And even if we look at something like police murder, in that, you know, if statistics, if you look at the Bureau of Justice statistics, some of the research that the Guardian newspaper has done, if you add up the projected numbers of police killings based on a few years where the federal government actually did track the number of police killings, we're talking about upwards of 11,000 people having been killed by the police in the last decade. Many thousands of those are white people. There are a disproportionate number of black people and brown people who are killed by the police. But there are literally hundreds of people, white people, killed by the police every year in this country. And the rate at which white people are incarcerated in the United States is unheard of anywhere else in the world.
In the industrialized world especially, yeah. Where you should know better.
Yeah, no. And then if you add on top of that the extraordinary costs of policing, of settling police brutality cases, of the paying for prisons, that this is public money that is taken from all of us, money that could be invested in schools, in public hospitals, in the public infrastructure, but that instead is directed towards law enforcement, has an impact on all of our lives. So in my sense, we all have an investment in becoming a part of the movement to curtail the racism and violence of American police.
Thank you. One of the big concerns, I think, is the fact that people are not able to grasp that because the Black Lives Matter seems to have arisen in different areas, that there still is a unifying governance, if you will, with the group. And although some goals may be very specific to it, a particular area, such as maybe Baltimore's issues might be slightly different than, say, maybe Salt Lake City's, for example, can you talk about how the groups connect together to have a synchronicity and a cohesion that can help continue to draw people in and move the whole issue forward in a way that keeps people galvanized, keeps the issue of the importance of Black lives in celebrating all lives, to keep that on fire for us?
Well, if anything, I think that's a goal. I think that the movement in some ways reflects the kind of fracturedness of how these issues play out, which is to say that policing, you know, there's not a national police force in the United States.
Right.
So policing is a very local issue. And each jurisdiction has its own particular characteristics, which means that as the movement has broken out in different places, that there are, as you say, particular demands that arise based on those local conditions. And so I think that, you know, the kind of general themes that have connected people have been the issues with racism, with brutality, with a kind of a general issue with injustice throughout the criminal justice system that has kind of linked the groups. But at the same time, I think that there has been a reluctance to cohere a national organization or a national set of specific demands, or to try to portray this in too much as a single unified movement. I think some of that is that, you know, there are significant differences that exist between what reform looks like, mm-hmm. whether reform is possible, tactics that people want to employ, whether, you know, some people want to, you know, feel comfortable meeting with the President of the United States, for example, versus others who think that that becomes a kind of performance or show,
yes.
For the President and his people without getting anything concrete in return. And so there are these kind of specific tactical, strategic questions that has created some reluctance to pull together a unified movement. And so in that sense, I do think that part of the goal should be more conversation, more coordination, and more collaboration where it is possible. But it is clear that, you know, this year the police have killed on average 80 people a month thus far in January, February, March, and now April. And so the pressure that exerts on the movement itself to continue to find ways to collaborate and to work together to be more effective continue. And so I think that's where we're at right now.
Well, one of the reasons I asked this question is because as we are in a presidential election cycle, this is the kind of issue that should have been addressed by our candidates at the very onset of their campaign, and it's only now that they're really gearing up and addressing after we've had to have protest actions. And so what I look at is there another point of access for addressing the overt racism that and the subordinate position that America keeps trying, the United States keeps trying to put Black folks in within our political and economic structure? So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, we know that with within the U.S. structure, racism was built in, and politically, police serve in some systems, some parts of the country, they serve to be part of the white supremacist structure. How do we address it? Can we even address it in the structure we're in now? And so I think, what level of organization would it take to make people to recognize we're not necessarily talking about ending just police brutality? We're looking at changing the social, the political, the economic structure so that Black people actually can enjoy full personhood in this country. And so that's why I ask about cohesing on a bigger level so that there's a more prominent position. Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense. And that's why I say I think that that is part of the goal. And I think that, you know, people are going to have to grapple with that question, because I think what we're seeing now is, you know, if we think about the movement in phases, the first phase of the movement, in terms of raising the level of awareness of police violence, that it's not just a question of bad apples or a rogue cop here or there, but it's systemic, it's widespread, it's pervasive throughout the United States, and it requires a much more robust response than has been offered thus far. And so that's one particular phase. I think right now the movement is encountering really the resilience of the American political establishment to protect the status quo. And the status quo includes violent killer cops. And, you know, there are all sorts of examples of how that resilience plays itself out.
Let's break out right here, because it's resilience, I think, is a pivotal point that we can use here. And it's all about resilience that comes out of shared information, which leads to shared concerns, shared values, shared visions. And that resiliency is built on everybody stepping in and supporting, everybody stepping in and validating. So if you feel that the programming that you're listening to on KBOO is that kind of programming, we want you to support it. Now, here's where I go ahead and bravely put more rubber on the road. If you feel like the programming is not meeting the needs, where are you? Come still. But then we ask you not only to support us financially, but bring your sweat equity into the mix, because we need people who are motivated, who are galvanized, who are activated to make sure that the population is informed. It's an informed populace that is able to make changes in its political position. And you can only be informed if you have a strong and resilient media facility.
So give us a call here at 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm and become a sustaining member of this, your community radio station. And we will share a little bit of information about what you, how more you can do, and what might be some thank you gifts that you might
be able to
receive.
Well, the book is definitely one. And I would recommend $75. That's right. That's not a large pledge. And the fact is, when you are you're making your pledge for that $75, you can do it electronically, and you can pay it in portions and enjoy the book in whole.
That's right. This is Linda. Hi, this is Linda here in Membership Drive. I'm here with Brianna, and you know, that's right. It really makes so much sense to have your dollars both go to support this wonderful radio station that makes such a difference for you, but also gives you in whole the book from hashtag Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation. I've been listening to this discussion, and I think, where else are we getting this analysis? We're just not getting it in other places, and it's so important. If you can't understand deeply what something's happening to, is going on in society, then you you can be left to your own imagination, or worse, to the mainstream media that will be telling you not the truth, you know, some other version that leaves people without a real way to go. It's important that you support this radio. Please do it by dialing toll-free 877-500-5266, just like Renee, a renewing member. We're so happy to have her along. And Madeline, also a renewing member.
Thank you, Renee and Madeline.
Thank you both we're heading towards our goal for this show, but we have another 240 to go. That could be two of you at $10 a month, one of you at $20 a month, or five of you at less. We like the more members, the better, and we also like the donors who can give big donors. So please take a moment right now, whichever fits you, call in. There is also a limited number of this book left. It's already going out the door. We only have a few more left if you want to. And I think, boy, you ought to want to, because this analysis is so sober, so complete, that it's really, this is going to inform you in important conversations and in the movement and choices you make as you go forward. So it's 877-500-5266. I have Brianna here with
Hello.
Me, another volunteer.
Yes, and I have been a volunteer here for a long time. And I got to tell you, I walked in the doors here at KBOO 13 years ago, and I haven't walked out since, because there's a lot happening here, and there's a lot of really amazing content and radio and people.
And Brianna and I haven't even met very much,
it's
and
true.
We've both been around all that time.
Yeah.
That's because there's over 500 of us volunteers who come through this station. If nothing else, that's a great reason to support KBOO. You too can become a reporter or a DJ or an engineer.
Exactly, and you can start that today. Call 877-500-5266 and show some support financially. For only $6.25 a month, you can get this amazing book. So think about that. I like to think about how much do you make an hour? Can you give 1 hour's worth of your wages away to the radio station that's out here reporting and supporting the community that you're a part of? So if you're making minimum wage in this town, $6.25 a month is definitely less than an hour. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. You can also go online to kboo.fm. There's a little button in the upper right-hand corner that just says donate. You can click on that if you're driving right now. Just keep that in mind. Stop. And give us a call, 877-500-5266, or online, kboo.fm.
You are the one who makes the difference.
Thank you, Linda and Brianna. We're continuing our conversation with Professor Kiyenga Yamata Taylor, author of From Black Lives Matters to Black Liberation. When we paused our conversation a few minutes ago, you were reflecting on the challenges that the Black Lives Matters movement has. And perhaps you can share a little bit about, and you wrote also in your book about some of the challenges in terms of the co-opting of the movement, and
yes.
What are some things that should be aware of. Suddenly it's really, really popular, and foundations are probably looking for places to throw money at, and you think that may not necessarily be a good thing.
No, I mean, I think that foundations that's part of what they do is try to professionalize activism to really, I think, limit the scope of what activist projects people are involved in. And so there's a tension, though, because movements need money. Movements need all sorts of funds to be able to, continue to move forward. And so the taking of money in and of itself from these foundations is not, I don't think is the entire problem. I think that the expectations that foundations have, the way that foundations then try to politically shape and control the message of activists and activist projects is part of the problem. So, for example, something like the Ford Foundation doesn't just give out money, but they have conferences, they produce white papers, they have, you know, analysis about what the scope of movements should be. And so I find much of that extremely limiting and focused almost exclusively on public policy. But public policy as a kind of be-all, end-all, and focal point of social movements is problematic in the sense that public policy is state action and tends to be constrained by the forces that operate within the state who always want to limit and lower the expectations of what activists are fighting for. These are the people who want to constrain or confine our movement to just, you know, looking at body cameras, sensitivity training, and hiring more black police officers. And so, you know, I think the impulse within the movement itself is much more expansive and wants to look much more broadly at the problems in American society and how they connect to violent policing, and not just limit its scope to the narrow question of the police itself. But that is one of the impacts and influences that multi-billion-dollar foundations have. And I wrote about it as a thing to be aware of and to talk about and debate within the movement itself.
And you also talk about the relationship between the Obama generation of activists mm-hmm. and older generations of activists. We're going to take a short break right now, but I want you to respond to that in terms of how they may learn and wrestle with one another. But we want to remind our...
Maybe support one another instead?
Yeah. We want to remind our listeners that you are listening to KBOO. This is your community radio station. We are in the midst of our membership drive, and programming is made possible by your support. Why don't you, who listen occasionally or have a special programming, give us a call at 877-500-5266.
Hi, I'm your engineer.
Hi.
Or online, kboo.fm. That was a little bit of a technology error. But give us a call. I think we have a few copies of Professor Taylor's book left for a donation of $75. You might...
Money well spent, actually, because the book helps people understand what the movement is and get beyond the sound bites that you hear. It also helps you understand the legitimacy and the validity of the ideologies used, that, you know, when we talk about how important Black Lives Matter and how this organization nationally is helping move the whole idea of Black empowerment toward Black liberation, you have facts at your fingers rather than skewed anecdotal news stories. This is a good way to get the facts, get the ground in, and see how the Black Lives Matter liberation effort benefits the Black community and the whole idea of equality in the United States.
So, Brianna, tell us a little bit more about how people might become a member or raise their membership.
Well, the easiest way to do it is just to pick up your phone and call 877-500-5266. You can also go online to kboo.fm and you can give us your contribution today. And, you know, one thing that I think is really incredible about this community radio station is the fact that not only are we providing you with information, we're providing you with interviews, we're providing you with news, but we're also providing a variety of voices on this radio station. And if you tune into other radio stations, oftentimes you'll hear similar stories, but it's given to you by reporters that are oftentimes completely disconnected from what they're reporting on and what's going on. And here at KBOO, we have people on the ground. We have people going out to those communities. We have people who are members of communities reporting on what is important to us here. And that is so important. So please give us a call, 877 800-500-5266 and show some support today for your community radio station. Almost 90% of us here are volunteers. We don't get paid for our time. We come here because we care about what we're doing. And if you maybe don't have time right now to come in and also show your support with your time, you can show us your support with your wallet. So call 877-500-5266 today.
And you know what, Brianna? There's only a couple copies of that book left. If you want to get in on this, you've got to do it soon. You know, we only get a limited number of these books. We really thank the publishers who give these books so that their message can get out there. This is one of the most important messages. I think that many of you have a sense of that. If you don't, you need to, because, you know, nothing we'll move forward wholly in this country if we don't look at the issue of Black oppression and Black liberation, and if we don't realize that this isn't a country we want to live in. We don't want to live in it this way. And we get analysis from Kianga Yamada Taylor, the author of the book that you've been hearing on this time. We get analysis that we're not going to get elsewhere. Just even the thing about co-optation of movements, co-optations, and how that can happen, that's important information for all of us to have. So I want to thank also Anne, who called in, a renewing member.
Thank you, Anne.
Yes, woo! Very much. And those, yay, that's right. And we have a wonderful group of phone answerers back here who want nothing more than to be able to take your phone call. Literally, I mean that. They're like dressed up in costume eagerly. They want to hear from you. So the number to dial is 877-500-5266. This is one of the times to jump on the bandwagon, and that's the bandwagon of KBOO Community Radio, bringing you authors like Kianga Yamada Taylor. Get her book, From Hashtag Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation. Read her analysis. Don't just hear it. And also, you can, you know, share this show later. It'll go up on the web. You'll have this show and her to introduce to your friends so that you can get this analysis out further. Just by going to our website, you'll be able to look at archives and the schedule. So please keep that phone ringing. We're moving towards our goal. We're not quite there. It's 877-500-5266. A minimum of $625 a month or $75 will get you the last copy going out the door of
That's
this
right.
great book.
You can also go online, kboo.fm, and show us your support there. Again, you can call us 877-500-5266, and for as little as $6.25 a month coming out of your bank account, you can help support the station, and you can get a copy of Hashtag Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation. All yours, 877-500-5266.
And you know, we've only got 6 more minutes of this show, so please do make those phones ring off the rack right now. Show your appreciation for this program and get one of you get the last of these books. Call right now. You got to dial it to get the last of this book.
That's right.
But do it right now at 877-500-5266. Support the most vibrant radio station you've ever heard.
Thank you so much, Linda and Brianna.
Yes.
And to hear Professor Kianga Yamada Taylor, you may join her on this Wednesday, April 27th at 7:30 p.m. at Powell City Books downtown. We have only a couple of minutes, and I thought you might share a little bit about the relationship between a younger generation and older generation of activists and
how they can support each other.
Well,
I know you're saying wrestle.
I say wrestle.
Well, the exchange, the conversation, the discussion.
Well, I think that in the emergence of any movement, that there are tensions between new activists and more established activists. New activists don't have the burden or weight of past failures that they're concerned about, which means that they tend to be willing to take more risks. I think we saw that on the streets of Ferguson, where the young people who, you know, held protest and vigil for over 100 days were, you know, in many ways not constrained by, you know, past failures and we're just thinking about how to continue to move forward. I think that I do think that there's a difference between
some of those generational tensions that arise in any social movement, and the class tensions,
the political class,
yes, you
know, that emerged between the civil rights establishment and the new organizers. And so for the civil rights establishment, who in many ways have coveted their relationship with the White House and with the general political establishment in the U.S., you know, were quite concerned about compromising that. And so they looked for ways to temper the protests, to funnel protests out of the streets into voter registration campaigns, voting drives, that sort of thing. And so those sorts of tensions, which got played up in the media as generational tensions alone, really have to do with a vision about politics, a vision of what is the most effective way to fight for change. Is it through backroom deals and long-established political relationships, or is it through militant political protest? And so I think those were the lines of demarcation between the two groups. And, you know, in some cases, those alliances may continue in some situations to be useful.
And we're just about out of time.
But we will have you back when we're not in membership drive so we can expand.
And to continue the conversation, join Professor Kiyenga Yamata Taylor at Powell's Books this Wednesday, April 27th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, new members. Thank you, renewing members. Thank you, all volunteers, for supporting your community, KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for the Old Mole Variety Hour and more here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland.
KBOO would like to thank our community members that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Dambayan, located on 6014 Southeast Foster Road, serving traditional Filipino lunch and dinner Wednesdays through Sunday. Lunch was provided by Santa Fe Taqueria, a Mexican restaurant at 831 Northwest 23rd Avenue, open Monday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to midnight or later. Dinner was provided by Ford Food and Drinks, a Southeast Portland cafe open 7 days a week at 2505 Southeast 11th Avenue.
The religion of Judaism and the political philosophy of Zionism must be completely separated.